Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country, writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years, Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week, we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Hello, listeners, and welcome again to another episode of These Parts. I am your only host this week, Elliot McNally. You were, of course, joined by my brother, Vince McNally, last week, and it seems only fair that I should have my time in the limelight. So I'm here by myself while Vince is taking care of some things down in preparation for RandCon. I did hear through the grapevine that he had a successful Hollywood actor on the show last week. Just really drives the dagger in the back, I think, with that. He's really trying to make a statement. I, for one, am not going to give him the gratification of listening to that episode. Of course, I never listened to any episodes with his voice track in it. I have our audio engineer, Sarah. Yes, we have a female audio engineer. I'm not afraid to say that. I think we're very progressive in that regard. But I have Sarah edit out all of Vince's parts every week and send them to me as a separate audio track so I can listen to the episode as it was intended with just me and the guest. So it won't be that different this week. It's just going to be me. And of course, I have an esteemed guest with me. Vince is, of course, down preparing for RandCon in Rudyard's Hill, Georgia. He insisted this week he went down to mess with the technical aspects of things. He gets kind of a kick out of the technological aspect of these big events, but in my opinion, he kind of hovers around the professionals, almost like the other dads at a barbecue. Just kind of hovering around, saying things that are very obvious or, you know, asking very obvious questions. Oh, is that a 30 watt you're using there? Oh, okay. Yep. And it's he wants to do it, and it's our event. I'm going to let him. And honestly, it's going to be fun with just you listeners and me and our guests, because we are an amazing town and a town I think we should put on the map. So listeners, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps, stick them on the wall, hang them on the wall if you have the tapestry version, and get ready to stick a pin in Paleo, Pennsylvania. Paleo is actually the birthplace of the paleo diet. It's come back in the recent years, and of course, These Parts is always steeped in history, but we don't delve too much into prehistory, and that's where the paleo diet comes from, and that's where this fad is drawing from as well. The town is also home to what is purported to be the missing link. So we get a lot of archaeologists and a lot of hunters of this missing link flocking to the town at any given time. Joining me today is one of those Sasquatch hunters. Would you care to introduce yourself?
Well, hello there, Elliot. Very nice for you to have me on your podcast.
And what is your name?
My name is Sam Squatch.
Sam Squatch, that is very befitting of your profession, I must say. How long have you been a Sasquatch hunter?
Well, I must interlude here and say Sam Squatch, of course, is not my birth name. It's not my Christian name.
Oh, okay.
That would be Martin De La Rosa Maria Di Maria DeCento III. But I changed my name when I came here to Paleo to pursue my profession as a Sasquatch hunter.
So you are not from Paleo?
No. I am from Dubuque, Georgia.
Yeah, I could detect a little bit of an accent. I think that's Southern. I was trying to place it.
Guilty as charged, Mr. McNally. I'm here in Paleo hunting a Sasquatch, and I changed my name to Sam Squatch to deceive the Sasquatch.
Oh, that's interesting. Can you hunt down Paleo, Pennsylvania on our map and stick a pin in it for us?
I will do my best, Mr. McNally.
Oh, it's right there. And so, Sam, tell us a little about your escapades in hunting the Sasquatch. We know that Paleo is purported to be the home of the Sasquatch. Are you joined by a team of other people, or do you fly solo?
No, of course. I have a group of associates. I have my camera persons. I have my trap specialists. I have my heavy weapons gunner. And I also have a couple of caterers who come around into the woods with us, make sure we have whatever snacks, meals, other accoutrements that we might need. Now, contrary to popular belief, the Sasquatch is a very easy critter to catch. We catch them quite frequently, several times a week.
Really? The same one?
The same Sasquatch over and over, yes.
Did you say the same Sasquatch? Do you get involved in your own traps sometimes?
Well, that was a slip of the tongue, but now that you do mention it, I do tend to wander into my own traps every now and again. I am not a graceful man.
And I think I've seen your escapades also on your Spike TV show.
Yes, yes. The people at Spike TV are very kind to follow us around with their own camera crew. Of course, our camera crew, not being professionals, often get in the way of the shots. So I would say a good 75% of the footage on the Spike TV show is the back of our own camera person's heads.
I was going to say, a lot of season one seemed to be the back of different people's heads. It was kind of hard to see the Sasquatch, which only added to the allure, I think.
Now, the silver lining of this, of course, is that our production assistant, Jefferson Davis, named after the great president, of course, he got himself a deal with Maybelline as a hair model.
Just from the show on Spike TV?
Just because of his hair spent so much time on air, yes.
That's amazing. And I'm sure being a model now, he has to ascribe to particular diets, maybe even the paleo diet.
No, not the paleo diet per se. Jefferson is on a strict diet of only Magnolia cupcakes.
From the New York bakery.
From the New York bakery, yes. He lives in New York now, as most models do. He eats that because the starches and the sugars release a sheen into his scalp.
Mm-hmm. So he recently released the Magnolia scented hair product, didn't he?
That's correct. Through a partnership with Maybelline, of course.
Which smells like the bakery, not particularly any cupcake.
Well, I must correct you there. It smells like, to be specific, confectioner's sugar.
Well, Sam, let me say that you're just the sugar on top of this episode. Being in paleo, do you yourself ascribe to the paleo diet?
You know, I sure do. I'm getting up there in age. I'm in my late 50s, my very late 50s, and so I have to look out for my health. My doctor says I have high cholesterol.
So do most people in town ascribe to the diet, or is this just the birthplace of it?
You know, it's hit or miss. We are a metropolitan community, so all shapes and sizes of diets come and go through the city. That said, I think we do have a higher than average number of ascribers to the paleo diet.
Is this how you sometimes catch the Sasquatch, by setting out different greens and meats for him?
No, the Sasquatch, he eats strictly cheeseburgers. He prefers Hardee's or Carl's Jr. Of course, Arnold Carl's Jr. in Pennsylvania, so we need to fly those in, but he does prefer them to Hardee's.
Does Spike TV fund this funneling in of Carl's Jr. for him, or is this out of your own pocket?
No, the Carl's Jr.'s that we use in specific are funded by donations from the local townspeople.
Donations monetarily, or are they actually donating Carl's Jr. burgers?
Monetary donations. It used to be that we would have the townspeople bring their own Carl's Jr. burgers. Now, this became very inefficient, especially given that we catch the Sasquatch upward of two or three times a week.
I'm fascinated. I'm sure you guys listening are fascinated as well. Sam, because your profession is so steeped in secrecy, I thought a great segment for us to delve into would be one we call Best Kept Secrets. So listeners, of course, every town has facts it's known for, things that tourists or archaeologists or Sasquatch hunters flock to. But it also has a seedy underbelly that sometimes we get to pick on this segment. Best Kept Secrets does exactly that. And Sam, I wanted to talk to you about the things that people don't normally see. You spend a lot of time in the woods hunting the Sasquatch. Are there anything out there that normal tourists wouldn't see or that people would stay away from?
Oh, well, you know, I'd be remiss not to start and end with of course, the Sasquatch, the missing link for which paleo is so famous. Now, people who watch the show on Spike TV, Sasquatch Hunters, The Hunt for the Sasquatch, now, they will realize that we can't always show all the footage that we capture of the Sasquatch.
Sure.
Now, certain elements of our TV program are not suitable to audiences of all ages.
And so the people watching the show, of course, a lot of it is the back of people's heads. But as you're in the woods, as you're around the town, I'm told that sometimes you guys leave the camera running and you'll just be around the town doing your everyday business. Are there any things that you run into that are, I guess, in the seedy underbelly of the town?
Well, of course, occasionally we'll leave the cameras running, or a local hunter will have his deer cam set up in a tree, and we'll catch the Sasquatch doing something unsavory, doing something embarrassing. For instance, once we saw him looking at an inappropriate magazine. And of course, this caused quite a stir across the more conservative viewers of our program. We're an all-American whole family program. We like to show the Sasquatch doing Sasquatchly things, rooting around, finding bearish, walking around in the shadows, being blurry on camera. We do not like to show the Sasquatch, for lack of a more graceful term, touching himself.
So you're looking for wholesome secrecy.
And that's exactly it.
Interesting. What do you have to say about the accusations that sometimes the Sasquatch you catch is actually just Brendan Fraser when he comes to town? A lot of people know him from Encino Man, and people make that mistake all the time.
Now, it hurts me when I hear things like that. Brendan Fraser is a close personal friend of mine. He's also actively involved in a Sasquatch hunting community. Now, it should be said that, of course, Brendan Fraser has stumbled into the line of sight of our cameras and into more than a couple traps. Fraser, of course, is a big fan of Carl's Jr. in his own right. And being hard up for cash as he is, after the cash cow that was the Mummy series dried up, he has been known to forage for Carl's Jr. burgers, get to him sometimes before the Sasquatch can himself.
Well, and he made that cash cow into several burgers himself, I'm told. And I know that he sometimes is around with Sean Astin and Pauly Shore, and they sometimes join the Spike TV show and help out. Can you tell of the experiences working with them?
Yeah, of course. We have a couple of production assistants, that's PAs for those in the biz, who wield large dust mops, and their only job is to beat away Pauly Shore when he tries to get on the camera.
Well, he's always trying to catch Sasquatch with Cheese Whiz and other sprayable cheese-related products, isn't he?
Any number of aerosol snacks Pauly Shore will employ. A clandestine attempt to, of course, get a monetary partnership with the good folks at Cheese Whiz. They want nothing to do with him, of course. As celebrated an actor as Mr. Shore is, he's a bit of a nuisance on the set of Sasquatch Hunters, the hunt for Sasquatch. And let me tell you something, our production assistants are very busy beating him off.
But not as hard as the Sasquatch is.
If you can match the zeal and confidence with which the Sasquatch himself will pleasure himself. So that comparison, of course, is never going to be favorable for Mr. Shore.
Switching gears a moment, I want to talk about a different topic I want to beat off a little bit, and it's the diet. A lot of diets are always swirling around the internet and gossip. What's the best diet for you? So do you have any insight into maybe the secrets behind the paleo diet and its connection to the Sasquatch?
Well, yes, of course. Now, not many people know this, but originally the person who put the paleo diet online on the internet back in 1999, they got the formula a little bit wrong. They misinterpreted. Of course, originally, the paleo diet meant a diet of only SpaghettiOs containing the letters P-A-L-E and O. You were supposed to eat around the other SpaghettiOs, and of course, not eating any of the tiny meatballs.
So, of course, now people widely know it as just red meats and green veggies.
Yeah, of course, given the red sauce of the SpaghettiOs and the green packaging of the SpaghettiOs, that's how things got all miscombobulated.
So are there people in town that still try to stick to the only SpaghettiOs diet?
Oh, yes, of course. We're the number one consumer of SpaghettiOs in the nation. We're also number one waster of SpaghettiOs. Most of our landfills are filled with SpaghettiOs that have not been eaten, besides the P's, the A's, the L's, the E's, and the O's.
Do you ever use the O's to make a trail that the Sasquatch will follow into one of your traps?
I know, being that he only eats Carl's Jr. cheeseburgers, I don't think that would be very effective. Though, I will tell you this, I sometimes use the remaining letters to spell out tiny ransom notes and act like the rest of SpaghettiOs are trying not to be eaten by me.
You ever hold any of the Sasquatch's family ransom with these notes?
The Sasquatch had no family.
Really?
He's a very lonesome creature. I think that attributes to the amount of masturbating that it does.
What about Brendan Fraser in regards to the Sasquatch? Has he ever reached out and made friends with him to any regard?
Of course, Mr. Fraser is envious of the amount of fame and fortune that the Sasquatch has accumulated. His living conditions, being an overturned log in the woods, of course, better than Mr. Fraser's. So it's hard for the layperson not to blame Brendan for envying this creature. Brendan has, of course, tried to approach Sasquatch very slowly with the contract, saying, I will star as your co-star. We could do Sasquatch and Brendan Fraser take on the Mummy of the Woods. This was not very well received by the Sasquatch, who fled into the night.
Was it true that the Sasquatch almost got the role in Monkey Bone?
Not only the role of Mr. Fraser, but of course the role of the titular Monkey Bone, the tiny puppet. Originally, it was a bit of a Harry and the Hendersons-esque take-up, where it would be Brendan Fraser and the Sasquatch acting as buddy cops in a movie about a roller coaster in the underworld, of course. Now, eventually, they settled down doing a puppet film, which I can't stand behind by my personal self, but Mr. Fraser seems to have liked his role, and of course he was nominated for a Razzie for it, the highlight of Mr. Fraser's career.
I for one didn't know that, and I'm sure that there are plenty of other things that our listeners would just love to know. Guys, that's going to be in a segment that we call Wouldn't You Like to Know? Each week, you guys have the opportunity to write into us, asking us and our guests anything you'd like to know about the town. And each week, we get to three. Sam, if you don't mind, I'm going to read the first one.
Oh, please be my guest, Mr. McNally.
So this one comes from Dunstan Robinson, PhD, from Harvard University.
Oh, thank you so much for writing.
Wow, it's amazing that he's taking the time out of his day. He says, Dear Elliot and Sam, I am a clinical anthropologist at Harvard University, specifically studying diseases as they relate to the Paleolithic era. Through my research, I have found out that it is entirely plausible with enough statistical significance that Pangaea could have separated in such a way that Australopithecus africanus could have left remains in the place that is currently Paleo Pennsylvania. Wow. It seems like this is setting up for a pretty scientific question. I hope you're ready, Sam.
I'm no anthropologist, but I'm having trouble keeping up a little bit, Mr. McNally.
So he ends with saying, also, I heard Deliverance was filmed there. Well,
that certainly took a turn that I had not expected, Mr. McNally.
I didn't expect that either, but can you speak to that a little bit? Has anyone ever made this conclusion that the 1970s thriller, Oscar-nominated Deliverance, was filmed in Paleo, Pennsylvania?
Well, you know, Elliot, I have to say, I've never heard that one personally. Of course, Paleo, Pennsylvania is home to a few B-rated movies, featuring, of course, probably horror genre and thriller genre, mainly focusing around fleeing the Sasquatch, even though it is a gentle and elusive creature that prefers Carl's Jr. cheeseburgers and not human flesh. Now, interesting as it may be, however, though Deliverance was not filmed here in Paleo, it was indeed filmed just down the street from my hometown of Dubuque, Georgia.
Interesting. Were you in the movie or did you have any involvement?
No, I was a young man at the time in my mid-20s. And of course, I wanted to come down to the set and see Mr. Reynolds, who was a sex symbol both for men and women at the time. The 70s, they were a very open-minded era, if you might remember, Mr. McNally.
Oh, yes, of course.
Now, of course, I love the mustache of Mr. Reynolds. And so I was hoping that he could sign my own mustache comb. Now, his filming schedule was very busy, so I never got a chance, but I saw him on set a few times. He's a consummate professional.
That's great to hear. You know, you always think that these Hollywood actors are going to be so uppity, but it's great to hear that Burt Reynolds met your expectations.
Oh, Burt Reynolds, perfect gentleman.
Well, that was a great question, even though the setup was a little meandering and long at times, I'm sure, being a Harvard PhD professor, you have a tendency to do that, but hopefully we answered your question, Professor. Sam, do you have the next question for us?
I most surely do, Mr. McNally. It goes a little something from like this. It's from Lorelei in San Redondo Beach, Florida.
Oh, interesting.
Lorelei would like to know, Paleo is home, of course, to the Sasquatch, she writes. Yes, that's right, Lorelei. Mm-hmm. And she goes on to say, what do you make of other such missing link beasts, a la American Bigfoot and the Tibetan Yeti?
Hmm, that's interesting. So, for our listeners at home, what are the differences between all these?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Of course, Sasquatch is the only real one of all of these creatures. Sasquatch is, of course, a missing link. These other creatures are cheap knockoffs. And I can't speak to the Tibetan Yeti. I've never been to Asia. I've met some Asian people in my time, very nice folks, but from what I know about the Asian Yeti, it is a myth and also is the Bigfoot. What people don't know about the Bigfoot is that it was actually a marketing campaign by Reebok in the 60s.
Really? So he is not real? He was just a development of the marketing team?
Yes, of course. What kind of a name for a Paleolithic creature is the Bigfoot? The Sasquatch, of course, had normal size feet for being of its size.
So it's proportional, whereas Bigfoot, I'm remembering the Reebok campaign now, that shoe did perform very terribly because they only released it in size 15 and above.
Yes, of course. Now, no human being, besides only the largest of professional clowns, have that size of feet. And so many of these Reebok shoes laid on shelves for years, and it led to the decline of Reebok and the rise of Adidas and Nike.
What about the Abominable Snowman? Is he real?
Yes, of course, he's real.
Oh, okay. What about the Geico Cavemen? Are they around town? Are they real?
Yes, of course, those are real cavemen. You might notice, remember from the classic Brendan Fraser film, Encino Man.
So, wait, Brendan Fraser was playing a Geico caveman in Encino Man?
Brendan Fraser was playing a proto Geico caveman. The Geico caveman was actually modeled after Mr. Fraser.
Interesting. So they're saying, like, so easy a caveman could do it, so easy you could star in this 90s movie. The caveman could do it.
Yes, of course. Now, of course, They needed to make the models for the caveman better looking and in better shape than Mr. Fraser.
Sure. Okay. Oh, that explains why they were playing badminton in one or laying by the pool in one. They wanted to show off their physique.
Yes. Now, of course, Brendan Fraser can barely move on his own.
Well, that is so interesting. I think that clears up so much, especially for, I'm sure we have crossover fans on Spike TV that wanted to know that question as well.
Hello to all you faithful viewers of Spike TV program, Sasquatch Hunters, The Hunt for Sasquatch. Thank you so much for your patronage.
I have a final question here from Marina in Tempe, Arizona.
Oh, fire away, Mr. McNally.
So Marina says, hey guys, I've always wanted to visit Paleo, Pennsylvania. When I find the time to go, I was really hoping that you guys could tell me what great neighborhoods there are there. P.S. Love, Vince. Okay.
Or the Vince character, he's your co-host, isn't he?
Yeah, I would say I'm sort of the main host and he's sort of the second banana, but yes, he has developed a following like I have, a measly one at that, but some people still write in. I feel like he might have planted this question. It seems like his handwriting. Of course, we're not getting to the weekly Where's Vince segment this week, so I feel like he kind of undercut me with trying to fit it in. But in that regard, I'm going to stay true to the question, and I'm going to defer to you, Sam, with any specific neighborhoods that you like frequenting.
Oh, yes, of course. Perhaps not that I like to frequent, but I think we must talk about one of the most famous parts of Paleo. That is, of course, the 7-mile radius of uninhabitable land surrounding the tent in which Brendan Fraser lives.
And why is that?
Of course, the smell of Mr. Fraser is horrible. Very few people can stomach it for more than 15 minutes at a time. Now, I, as a hunter of the Sasquatch, have smelled the Sasquatch many times. Also, not a very fine smell. And so I can tolerate the smell of Mr. Fraser.
And I'm sure there's a certain radius around the Sasquatch that some people can't enter. Is there an almost Venn diagram-esque model where there is one point of overlap between Sasquatch and Brendan Fraser?
No, the Sasquatch will not go anywhere near Brendan Fraser.
Interesting.
It is repelled by pathetic creatures, so it also avoids, you know, the lesser animals of the forest, the rats, the weasels, what have you, dead critters, injured critters. It won't go near them. It also will not go near Mr. Fraser.
Interesting. So I have this pullout of this evolutionary chart where the ape is hunched over the bottom and then man, of course, is standing at the middle. Sasquatch seems to be kind of right before that, and it looks like this next one down is sort of a Brendan Fraser archetype.
Yeah, of course. Not to get too technical, I am a studied man in these sorts of affairs. So what you have there is an offshoot, actually. You'll have the mission link, and then you'll have the offshoot to Neanderthal. Now, Neanderthal also has an offshoot. One of those go to a non-thinking creature, sort of a proto-human. It can barely think or feed itself. It's very primal. And then one step below that is the genome which Mr. Fraser represents.
And those two little guys next to him, those look like sure, in Stephen Baldwin in Biodome.
Yes, of course. Stephen Baldwin, another interesting character, he does not have the pathetic stature and terrible smell of Mr. Fraser, but he also has some very interesting qualities of his own. Namely, he will only eat living animals with his bare hands and teeth.
Can you speak to the project I've heard of that's in development with Spike TV about Biodome 2 starring the Sasquatch and Pauly Shore?
Yes, of course. Now, animal rights activists are rallying against this project, much to the chagrin of the investors, as you might imagine. They think it's inhumane to keep a simple creature like Mr. Baldwin locked in a biodome, even for the purposes of filming a movie. They think it is torturous to a being of such simple mind. And you know, it's hard to disagree with him. If you've ever seen Mr. Baldwin try to interact with other human beings, he's a very skittish, basic creature.
Sure. It's kind of a loss, I think, because I've heard through TMZ that the Sasquatch was offered a producer credit.
Yeah, the Sasquatch, as far as beasts go, very elegant man. He can sign his name, and he can shake hands when he's not, of course, frightened by human contact.
That's amazing. A couple neighborhoods that I had ventured into for our next segment coming up was there's Meat Town, and then there's Green Town. And it seems to be there's kind of a confluence in the middle where the paleo diet originated. Can you speak to that? Have you been to any of these neighborhoods?
Well, it might be interesting to note for your tourists out there that it's very much a Greenland Iceland scenario. Now, you know how Greenland is actually very icy. Iceland, of course, very green and hospitable.
Sure.
So in Meat Town, they grow the cabbages, the heads of lettuce, the zucchinis, that sort of vegetable. And then in Green Town, they have the red meat.
Wow, that clears up a lot. And I had my wires crossed. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I think we should get to that in our next segment, if you'll join me, Sam. That's when we call Elliot's Eats. So, listeners, Elliot's Eats is a segment that frequently, I'm going to say more than frequently, our listeners write in, aside from what you like to know, write in, email, asking if this segment can be a part of every episode. And I have to humbly say, no, we have to make room for other segments. I do have our offshoot that's in development of our almanac called Chew on This, Elliot McNally's Food Guide to Small Town America. So you can pick that up in stores when our almanac is released. But I also have our offshoot blog of it. So in Elliot's Eats, I venture to one restaurant in the town and eat at it all week. This restaurant that I was at, Sam, I'm sure you know, it's called Homo Selectus.
The pride of paleo. This is one of our finest dining establishments, to be sure.
Homo Selectus, for anyone who hasn't been or would like to go, is very much modeled after Fogo de Chao. Of course, Fogo de Chao, you have people carrying around swords of meat, and you have a little green and red card that you can flip over, and they will just keep feeding you gluttonously until you relinquish your belt and let your stomach spill over. And then there's also a salad bar. At Homo Selectus, it's all caveman and Sasquatch themed. So these Sasquatches are coming around with big boards they've found down by the river with different red meat stacked on the top. And there's also a salad bar. So I, of course, couldn't eat any of the red meat, but the salad was pretty good. Have you had any of the meat or any of the other options there, Sam?
Yes, I'm a frequent patron of Homo Selectus. They have the finest quality meats and greens in the entire city. You know something about Homo Selectus? Oftentimes, younger, more zealous Sasquatch hunters will come in, and they will end up tackling the weight persons.
Really? Yes, because all of the wait staff are in either caveman or some sort of Sasquatch-like regalia, so I'm sure that confuses people.
Yes, plenty of meal service was ruined by a young Sasquatch hunter coming up, tackling one of the poor servers and spilling meat and greens all over the floor.
You did this once or twice in an episode, I'm sure I saw. I'm sure I remember. Are you still allowed at Homo Selectus?
Oh, yes. We've ironed out all the kinks. Now, of course, I have tackled my fair share of servers in the past. Now, in my defense, the Sasquatch is a crafty creature and will often wander into Homo Selectus and try to blend in among the servers.
Interesting. So he kind of knows the lay of the land and can pose as a server as he pleases.
Oh, yes. It's very give and take. The Sasquatch sometimes outsmarts us, and sometimes we outsmart the Sasquatch.
Are there any things, any dead giveaways? Does he have a tell that you know that you can distinguish a wait staff from a Sasquatch?
Oh, yes. Now, Of course, the waiting staff will be in tuxedos in addition to the Sasquatch costumes. The Sasquatch will be in no such tuxedo. He will try to fashion a tuxedo from discarded napkins.
Interesting. And so I've also heard that he will do a rendition of Putting on the Ritz just to try and blend in as well.
Not only that, he's been known to do a couple of soft shoe numbers, some shuffle and step, some high toe, low toe, various tap dances. He's a very nimble creature given his size. Many people don't know that about him.
He trained with Fred Astaire, I think.
Well, not specifically, of course. He watched very many Fred Astaire videos on VHS.
And a lot of those old-timey magazines that he's jerking it to have Ginger Rogers and Bojangles and the like in them, I'm sure.
Yes, of course. Ginger Rogers is a very handsome woman. It's hard to blame the Sasquatch, even given his carnal preclusions, for touching himself to such a beautiful and talented woman.
Are there any other restaurants in town that you like or that are staples of the paleo diet or the Sasquatch hunting diet?
Now, of course, I hate to get commercial here on such an informative and educational podcast, but I promised my good friend Brandon Fraser that I would indeed talk about his dining establishment, Fraser's Braziers.
And what is Fraser's Braziers?
Well, Fraser's Braziers is storefront in a mini mall outskirts of paleo, Pennsylvania. Of course, it doesn't serve any food because Brandon Fraser doesn't have any money.
But it is Dairy Queen. Doesn't Fraser's own Dairy Queen?
But Dairy Queen and a couple of other similar-minded Americana eating establishments. He's a franchisee of the Brazier Corporation. But he, of course, cannot afford any food or equipment. So it's an abandoned space. But he did ask me very, very kindly. He begged me on two knees to talk about Fraser's Braziers.
Is there any confusion ever between leftover soft serve ice cream and Sasquatch scat?
No, that's difficult to say. I haven't heard of it in particular. What I will say is that oftentimes the police officer will have to come into the town with a hose and spray Mr. Fraser because he's covered in the sticky residue from the only tub of soft serve ice cream he can afford, eating it with bare hands.
Well, I'll definitely have to check that out. If I'm full, if I don't have an appetite anymore, because it seems like there's not too much that he has to offer there.
No, unless you're comfortable licking the inside of a long-forgotten tub of soft-serve ice cream, I would not venture to those parts if I were you.
But there is another restaurant that I didn't get to check out. Maybe you know it. It's the Jack Link's restaurant, and I'm sure that they have the same problem with Sasquatch coming in and trying to pose as different salespeople.
Yes, of course. That would be called the Missing Link's, and it's a restaurant that serves English-style breakfast. Inspired by the good people at Jack Link's Beef Jerky. They're good friends of us here in Paleo. We, of course, let the Sasquatch do some TV commercials. The Sasquatch ended up being too unpredictable. And he's not violent in nature. The Sasquatch they wanted to shoot was very violent, harming the other actors. But the Sasquatch, he would braid tiny daisy chains and try to hand them to the actors. So this is not within the brand vision of Jack Link's, and no one can blame him. So actually, though you might not notice, and you might find it hard to believe, the Sasquatch in the Jack Link commercials is actually a person in a costume.
Wait, what?
Yes, I know. It was hard for me to believe as well, and I had even seen the Sasquatch.
Well, a lot of times you would jump at your TV and try and tackle it when you saw him.
Oh, yes, I brought quite a few TVs in my time. The good people at Shoney have set up a deal with me. They replace it for quarter the price because I buy so many TVs.
And I've also heard it was sort of a blessing in disguise because despite, you know, heinously harming people on set, the Sasquatch was also a really diva and constantly bringing up script notes and script edits and directorial suggestions as well.
No, that was actually Brendan Fraser, who appeared to be a Sasquatch, trying to inject himself into the commercial proceedings. The real Sasquatch is a very calm and level-headed actor.
He's kind of a method actor in that regard then, I guess.
Yes, of course.
This has been one of the most enlightening Elliot's Eats, I think, that I've ever done. And I have you to thank for that, Sam. Would you care to join me in a more fast-paced segment?
Well, I'll see if I can't keep up, Mr. McNally.
And that segment, of course, listeners, is Did You Know? So Did You Know is our weekly fast fact firing round, firing five fast facts that you, the listener, from us, the host and the guest. So Sam, get ready, because here's the first one. Did you know Paleo Pennsylvania does not allow Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz here?
You know, yes, I'd heard that, but even as a long-time resident of town, I didn't know why this was, Elliot. Can you shed some light on that for me?
Well, of course, it's because Dr. Phil might try and coach people off of the paleo diet or do something else, and because Dr. Oz will do quite the same. A lot of times, they would have different pop-up shows and pop-up stands in paleo, and people were frightened that fine establishments like the Missing Link or Homo Selectus would start to lose business if people started to lose faith in the paleo diet.
Well, that's very interesting. Of course, also worth noting that the very bald head of Dr. Phil is very frightening to the Sasquatch. He does not like bright lights.
Well, if he sees himself in the reflection of Dr. Phil's head, he will run away and I'm sure evade any traps you've set.
Yes, he's a very ugly creature, and he knows how ugly he is. Contributes to how sad he is and how frequently he indulges in self-pleasure of the flesh.
So do you have the next did you know for us, Sam?
I surely do, Mr. McNally. Mr. McNally, did you know that despite being a very lonely creature, the Sasquatch does indeed have one friend and only one friend?
And who would that one friend be?
Now, this is another legendary creature thought for many years to be a myth before being proven to be true and existing in our world. That would be the Chupacabra.
The Chupacabra, the Mexican goat snatcher.
Yes, the Chupacabra, the Mexican goat snatcher, known, of course, for his affinity for stealing and tickling goats.
So have you ever caught the Chupacabra? Has he ever been around paleo?
Oh, yes, the Chupacabra, unlike the Sasquatch, he migrates very far. He's a hardy creature. He can cover a lot of miles, and unlike the Sasquatch, he's very charismatic. So he can blend into many towns. Now, the Sasquatch, he is not very charismatic, but the Chupacabra, he took pity on the Sasquatch. He said, this lonely creature, always masturbating, always alone, always in the woods, always looking sad, always looking at himself in disgust after a session of self-pleasure.
Does the Chupacabra have any vices then, like the Sasquatch?
Yes, of course. All creatures on God's earth have their vices. We are not all pious creatures. The Chupacabra is no different. The Chupacabra loves chewy gushers.
Chewy gushers. So you pop them in your mouth and they gush out the goo.
Yes, of course. Of course, he eats very, very many of those. Too many. The doctors say he will have the diabetes.
So on a spectrum, I'm just trying to put things in perspective for myself. You got the Chupacabra. You got Sasquatch. Maybe let's throw in another mythical creature like the Loch Ness Monster. Who's hardest to catch?
Well, of course, this is going to sound odd coming from the fact that I have caught the Sasquatch hundreds of times. But there is a creature even easier to catch than the Sasquatch, and that would be the Loch Ness Monster. Of course, the Loch Ness Monster is trapped in a lake, so it's not very fair to the Loch Ness Monster hunters. All you need to do is go look at the lake and say, hey, there, I caught the Loch Ness Monster. He's stuck in the lake.
So it's literally like shooting fish in a barrel if you shoot all of the other fish and subsequently the Loch Ness Monster in the lake.
No, I have to disagree with you. It's much more like catching a Loch Ness Monster in a lake.
That's fair. And I didn't know that. But Sam, did you know that paleo is home to the biggest community of flat earthers?
Yes, I did notice, Mr. McNally.
For those of you who don't know at home, flat earthers are a society that believes the earth is, in fact, flat and disagrees with anything Pythagoras had said or purported about the world. So, of course, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with the Missing Link and this prehistorical vibe of the town. Are these flat earthers involved with the Sasquatch at all?
The flat earthers like to come to the Sasquatch, and they say to the Sasquatch, you do not exist. You do not exist, Mr. Sasquatch, because human beings, we are only 200 years old.
They also seem to think that the earth is surrounded by a wall of ice, which is Antarctica, as opposed to Antarctica being at the South Pole. But a lot of people think that this is actually the wall that Brendan Fraser has built around his perimeter.
Yes, of course, these flat earthers, they view Encino Man as liturgical text, a canonical work of nonfiction, detailing the earliest days of human civilization. Of course, human civilization beginning only 300 years ago with the cavemen coming out of the ice and then shaping the world in God's image.
And that's probably why they built the monument to Pauly Shore and the Cheese Whiz and pray to the Holy Squirrely Stub every day at 3 p.m.
Yes, and in that world, Billy Baldwin, he will be Jesus, and then Pauly Shore, he will be the devil.
Well, that's fantastic. I didn't know something in my own did you know, but can you give me something else I didn't know?
Oh, yeah, I hope that I can, Mr. McNally. Did you know that the Sasquatch had been known occasionally to wear a pair of pants?
Any specific pair of pants?
The pants, it will change based on the season. The Sasquatch had a very primitive understanding of modern fashion. So, of course, he will wear the white pants before the Labor Day, and then he will switch to darker, more natural colors after the Labor Day.
Interesting. So are they mostly slacks? Does he ever wear jeans? Anything in the selvage realm?
He will most often wear very tiny denim shorts. Now, he does this, of course, for reasons that I can only answer, because you assured me that this program is rated PG-13 or higher. He will wear them to create a great deal more friction between his own hand and his own phallus.
And he has removed or retained the teeth of the zipper for more friction.
He has retained the teeth of the zipper. Oh, wow. Of course, has removed the pockets.
Wow, that is sort of scary.
Oh, yes. One thing about the life of a Sasquatch hunter, you must steel yourself against the visions that you sometimes receive on the night vision cameras when the Sasquatch thinks he's alone. The Sasquatch is not a voyeur. The Sasquatch is not an exhibitionist. He will not attempt to perform a masturbatory technique in front of you, but sometimes you will see it all the same.
Well, it seems like he's pretty respectful in that regard then. And I didn't know that. But did you know that Burger King is constantly trying to make an establishment in Paleo, Pennsylvania?
Elliot, I had not heard this. Tell me, is it true?
Well, of course, you said it yourself. Hardee's and Carl's Jr. kind of have the monopoly over Paleo, and Burger King really wants to get in the action. And so they have set upon to release, I'm sure you've seen him, maybe you didn't make the connection, but the King around the woods.
Oh, that's very interesting. See, I have seen this King running around. I have figured that the jaundice had finally gotten to Mr. Brendan Fraser, and his head was beginning to swell. The capillaries bursted in his eyes.
Have you seen any clowns around in the woods?
I often see clowns here in the woods around Paleo. Now, it's known that many Sasquatch hunters have an aversion to clowns, and so clowns like to come into the woods and practice their scare techniques.
Interesting. So I've heard that that's the first sign that McDonald's is kind of rearing its ugly head, so you might want to watch out for that.
I'm not too worried about the McDonald's. I've attempted, of course, to feed the Sasquatch McDonald's hamburgers in the past, and he very politely refuses. He prefers the juicy square-shaped burger or Carl's Jr. burger.
Interesting. Any proclivity to Wendy's?
He does not mind a Wendy's burger, but he says he feels embarrassed eating it in front of such a beautiful young woman. He, of course, is referring to the Wendy on the cup of the Frosty that we always set alongside.
But then he resorts to jacking it to her as well, right?
He, of course, will steal into the night, holding the cup, Frosty still melting inside, and he will, yes, pleasure himself to the image of Wendy with the melted Frosty on it. It's very disgusting.
Is that why there are so many Wendy's cups and with the mouth hole cut out of Wendy?
I do not wish to dive into the sticky details of his techniques or his proclivity, but I will say yes, that of course is the reason.
Well, that really hit the spot for me. And I think, listeners, you might have one more thing that will satiate your appetite, and that is, of course, our final segment, Wish You Were Here. So you guys can't join us every week. Not even we can join us every week, as evidenced by last week and this week when Vince isn't here. So that is why we have an audio postcard from us to you. So it makes it seem like you're part of the journey along with us. This week, this one goes something like this. Dear listeners, wish you were here in Paleo, Pennsylvania. The birthplace of the Paleo diet and, of course, is evidenced by our friend Sam Squatch, the home of the missing link, Sasquatch. A town where you can have Carl's Jr., but you don't want to try any other fast food. And you definitely don't want to pick up any Wendy's cups that you find lying in the woods. A town where a Sasquatch can do a little soft shoe, and he can wear pants, and he could even serve you dinner. And a town where people will come flocking to, archaeologists, anthropologists, and otherwise, to uncover a secret and uncover a good time.
A farewell from these parts to yours. Hey listeners, hope you enjoyed my brother's hosting of his time in Paleo, Pennsylvania, and I hope you're with us next week when we're in a little town called Barn Swallow, South Carolina.
Barn Swallow, South Carolina is a town so ravaged by antiquers that citizens are forced to toil and constantly create new knickknacks to sell in the antique stores themselves. Come back, it's going to be a great one.